Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
I had a dream Sunday night. I've had two dreams lately, one a week before, and then I had a dream Sunday night. I've been asking God for dreams. Of course, you dream all the time, but most of them are sealed up from you, that you don't know what they are. But God speaks to you through coded language many times in your dreams, and He seals them up because He's ministering to you during those hours that you sleep in ways that you may not be aware of at the moment. But when He allows you to remember a dream, it's kind of like a mystery or a riddle that He gives you as a gift. Now He's saying, now come child, come with me and figure out the riddle. He conceals things for us, not to keep them from us, but so that we'll have to get closer to Him, and then through our relationship with Him, He'll reveal the answer. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. He wants you to search it out. So it's a riddle. When God gives you a dream and you know it's a dream from God, write it down. Spend time talking to God about it, meditating on it, muttering it to yourself, going back over it and over it with the Lord, and see what He reveals. Well, Sunday night I had this dream. I was outside on a concrete sidewalk, and there was a concrete wall next to the sidewalk. And all of a sudden, I saw about a 15-foot snake crawling along the sidewalk up against the wall. And it was heading like that direction. I wanted to go get, I had an axe. And I was going to kill the snake. But my axe was laying up against the wall. And the snake was going by. So I had to wait till the snake went by before I could get that axe. And so the snake goes by, and I go and grab my axe, and I'm coming after the snake, and by that time, the snake has grown into a monster-size snake. He's huge, big enough to swallow me. And I'm coming after him with my axe, and he starts to go up what looks like a wall. He's actually climbing up the wall, and Pam and my grandkids and some other people were up like in a house there against this wall where he was trying to get in. And I could hear them. They were looking out a window, and I could hear them screaming. And so I'm chasing after this thing with an axe. And in a moment, this thing turns around and raises up his head like you see there and ready to strike me. Now he's monster size. He's big enough to swallow me. And one quick move, strike, he swallows me. I'm inside the snake. I have the axe, and I'm inside the snake. I'm going to fight for my life. I know it. And I've got to use every bit of strength I have. I've only got seconds, and I've got to get this axe to cut through this snake, and I can't do it. As soon as I try, the snake's muscles and his intestines and all his stomach just squeezing around me so tight that I feel all the strength drain out of me. And I actually feel like I'm not going to make it. And I can't do anything. I have no more strength. All my strength is suddenly gone. I'm overpowered with this thing. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice, and I knew it was the voice of the Lord. And this is what he said. Go ahead and put that up on the screen. He said, it may be stronger than your strength, but it's not stronger than mine. And I woke up. It's 2:30. Now, I've had a lot of wonderful God dreams. I call God dreams where God's speaking to me through a dream. But I've never had a dream in my lifetime where God spoke to me in a dream and I heard his voice. And that's what woke me up. I heard the Lord's voice say, it may be stronger than your strength, but it ain't stronger than mine. And I woke up. So this shocked me. In fact, I couldn't go back to sleep for the longest time. And because I never had the Lord like that audibly speak to me in a dream. I've never had a dream where I've seen the Lord in a dream. I've never had a dream. I prayed for that, but I've never had that. But I heard the Lord's voice in a dream. You know, God spoke to Joseph in a dream. He said, go ahead and marry Mary to take her to be your wife. God spoke to him in a dream. I wonder if it was the same way. I wonder if he heard like I heard the Lord speak. Later on, he had another dream, and God spoke to Joseph in a dream and said, now take Mary and the child down to Egypt. He got directions through a dream. Again, he had to hear God. Another man, a man who wasn't a believer, Abimelech, God spoke to him in a dream and said, don't you touch Sarah. That's Abram's wife. Don't you touch her or you're a dead man. That's what he told him. So I kept wondering at these words and pondering these words. I've been just chewing on that since Sunday night. And those words were, it may be stronger than your strength, but it's not stronger than mine. Have you ever been going through a struggle in your life or a fight of some kind, a spiritual battle that you feel like it may be, or a long trial or whatever, and you feel like you don't have the strength to face another battle? You just can't go on. Has anybody ever felt that way? Well, if you're over 20, you probably have, yeah. When you feel that way, you're right. You're right. You were not created to face the enemy alone. By yourself, he's too strong. By yourself, he'll overcome you. See, the battle is not ours to begin. We know that the battle is the Lord's, and he's already won. He has. So I asked God all this week for understanding about this, because I've never had this happen to me before. I've never heard the Lord speak to me in a dream, and it woke me up. It wasn't the snake scary part that woke me up, because I was already inside the snake. And I could feel my no energy, no strength. I didn't have anything to give. And this thing was overpowering me. And I heard the Lord as clear as day. It may be stronger than your strength, but it's not stronger than mine. And that was it. So I've been pondering this. And I asked about understanding. And this is what he told me this week after I would spend time just walking and talking with God about this. Have a pad of paper with me, meditating on this, talking to the Lord about it and fellowshipping with Him. And what do you mean by this? Lord, there's something here. I need to know God. And as I'm talking to God and meditating with God and spending time with God, here's what He said. And I wrote this down in my journal. This is exactly what He said into my heart. He said, I am with you and in you, not just so you can extract answers and information from me. I'm in you to be your strength. Our relationship is a one of a kind. And my presence is what makes all the difference in your life. My blessing is my presence. I'm in you. Now, I know we Christians say, we know, oh yeah, God's with us. Emmanuel, God's with us. But do you really know He's in you? Do you really know it in a moment when you don't have any strength? Like this little girl, we read her email. Does she know? She claims to be a believer. Does she know God's with her? He's with her. He is with her now. She didn't have to call, oh God, come down. He's with her. She doesn't have to say, oh, come, Holy Spirit. He's with her. And He's with you. Right now. Whether you feel the strength or not, He's with you. Sometimes it's in our weakness that His strength gets perfected. Sometimes we have to run out of our own energy and our own solutions before we're able to tap into the grace that's already there. And then He gave me this scripture that I know very well. I memorized it a long time ago. The Holy Spirit brought it to my remembrance. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not afraid, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I will. What does this mean for you tonight on a Wednesday night? It is important for us to realize that God is really with us all the time, not just when we feel Him, but He's with us even in our weakness, even in our failure. He doesn't leave. He doesn't come and go. He's with you all the time. And human strength is no match for the enemy. He is a serpent, and he will swallow you alive, and he will overpower you, and he will drain you if all you have is human strength. And this time of year and in January are the highest months for suicide and depression. And behind the scenes, the serpent has swallowed somebody. And he's squeezing the life out of them. And they get to the point where they say, I don't have enough strength to go on. I can't do another year. I can't do this anymore. And if they don't have the Lord, they're right. They're done. It's over with. They'll either take their own life or they'll do something foolish that'll destroy their life. Martin Luther was a German, and he wrote the great hymn that you're familiar with. You sang it in traditional church. We sing it here. I love this old hymn. And in it, he really points out with some of these words. He knows what he's talking about when he says of the enemy, he says, his craft and his power are great, and he's armed with cruel hate. and on earth is not his equal. And did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Just like I was trying to sling that axe, I was inside this snake, and it was nothing. I couldn't. All our striving, losing. You know why? Because you were not meant to live this life alone. That's what Christmas is all about. God with us. I've been telling people I meet out in town or at stores, different places. I was at the Dollar General today, and this young lady there in the line with me, we struck a conversation, and I said to her after we small talk a little bit, I said, you know the real purpose of Christmas, right? And she says, what? I said, you. You're the reason for his season. He came for you. He came for you. He came here to be with you, to live with you, to love you, to show you how to live, and he died for you to pay for all your sins. Did you know that's what Christmas is all about? She said, oh, yeah, I know. Well, just in case she didn't know, now she does. See, you weren't meant to live alone. The first negative words that God ever said was, it's not good for man to be alone. And he was talking about having a spouse. But even beyond that, but it's not good for man to be without God. You weren't meant to be without God. And once you're with God, you're never alone. A couple of years ago, Hollywood came out with this movie with Noah, and it wasn't biblically accurate, and I didn't see it. I'd heard a lot about it and stuff, and I wanted to go see it, but then when I heard about it, it was off-the-wall crazy stuff. I won't waste my money. But there was one scene that they had on television when they advertised the movie that I absolutely loved, and here's Noah, and he's standing there in front of the part of the ark that he's built so far, and there were some warlords that had come around him, and they said, we're going to tear down this stupid building you're building. And he said, no, you're not. He said, oh, yes, we are, and who's going to stop us? You know, you ain't going to stop us. You're all alone. And he says the word. He says, I'm not alone. Woo! When he says that, I said, amen. You're right. I can't wait. One day, Lord, ever put me in a situation, don't let me do anything stupid, where somebody, you know, wants to shoot you, pull a gun on you, rob you, or whatever. I said, well, no, you don't want to do that. Why? Because I ain't alone. Well, who's with you? You really want to know? He'll follow you home and chase you down. I'm not alone. I hope I have the guts and the courage to say that, but I've been practicing, so just in case, you know, I'll pull out my moment. Hey, I'm not alone. Because that just went all over me like strength and courage. We need to live that way, with the courage. I'm not alone. Well, what are you going to do about this? Well, I'm not alone. You all alone? No, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. But we got to really know that. Say, we need to practice in our daily life. God is with us. You weren't meant to be alone. And you're not alone with the Lord in your life. You got a supernatural enemy that is out to kill you. I don't know if we realize how serious that is. He's out to take us out. Now, I know that's true in my own life and my family. I wonder if you know that's true. He's out to kill you. We have a supernatural enemy, and there's no human power alone that can stop the devil's scheme. No human power. Even King David, a man after God's own heart, he got to the place where he almost quit. He almost gave up. He got so discouraged. One time, he and his band of mighty men, they were out, and King Saul had been chasing them and hunting after them, and he actually went and lived with the Philistines for a while. He killed Goliath, who was a Philistine, and yet years later he actually lived among the Philistines. And he lived there for a while. And then on his journey back to his camp where his wives and the men's wives and their children and family were, they found out when they got there, the Amalekites, which were another, like a bunch of warlords, came in and they kidnapped the women and the children and destroyed their camp. So can you imagine coming back after being in hiding for so long? They come back to see their wives and their children and they're gone. They're gone. And Scripture says in 1 Samuel 30, it says, then David and all the people that were with him, they lifted up their voice and they wept until they had no more power. Have you ever wept till you couldn't cry another tear? It's just, you just drained, you're gone. They wept until they had no more power. Not only were the men grief-stricken over their wives and their children had been abducted, had been kidnapped. What would you do tonight if you found that out? If you went home and found out your grandchildren had been kidnapped? It's devastating. And not only were the men grief-stricken, but now the men, David's men, were angry. And they started to blame him for it. This wouldn't have happened if we hadn't followed you. And now they're blaming him for their loss, and they even spoke about killing him. We ought to stone him. Is anger part of the grief process, Miss Deedley? Is anger part of the grief process?
Oh, yes. That's a big part of it.
And you blame?
And you blame God, first of all, and then you blame all the people close around you concerning this situation. You know, if it was through medical, you blame the doctor, or, you know, if whoever close around them, then the anger will fall around. In fact, I was just talking to my sister there. She just asked, was anger part of it? And what the Lord had given me during that process was, you know, you can go through the anger process, but he's big enough to handle it. He made the world. He's big enough to handle it.
Amen. I know that's true. Amen. So they're blaming David. We ought to kill you. And these are men that had killed a lot of men, so they were good to be able to do it. They could back it up. See, the enemy knows our weaknesses, and he knows our vulnerable moments. He's got a history on us. Yeah, this will work on him. Yeah, this one always works. Yeah, if I pull this trick on them. Yeah, 100% guarantee. And this is one of David's lowest moments in his whole entire life. What would he do? His own men now are turning. They want to kill him. Their wives and their children are gone. He feels responsible. What's he going to do? He's grief-stricken. What would you do? What would you do? We're kind of at a loss, aren't we? It's a moment of decision. These are the kinds of moments that everybody has at one time or another, different circumstances, different situations, but everybody is going to hit a low moment in their life where you come to a place where you're either going to go right or left. You're either going to choose life or you're going to choose death. You're either going to draw closer to the Lord or you're going to run from him because you're angry. And the rest of this verse tells you what he did, and it better be what we do. Here's the rest of the verse. Say it with me. Now take David's name out and put your name in there. Come on. That's in the Bible for a reason. First of all, how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? Well, how did David do it? Well, if you read the scripture, you ought to go home tonight and read the rest of it. He went to the priest and he asked for the ephod. The ephod was a garment that the priest would put on when he would go in and inquire of the Lord. Now, only the priest is supposed to wear this ephod. David went to the priest, not to get the priest to pray for him. He didn't say, please pray for me. He was going to do his own praying. Just give me the ephod. I got to talk with God. Nobody else. I don't want a counselor. No. I don't want a priest. I don't want a preacher. No. I want to talk to God. And since David was a man of war, I imagine high priest didn't have any problem. Yes, sir. Here it is. He puts on the ephod and he goes in to talk with God. I need to talk to the Lord. Last week, I gave you a good scripture. If you'd meditate on, I promised God would help you. Psalm 32:8. God speaking said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Now, if you've been meditating on that, you've already had several opportunities to bring that back up to God. Lord, you said you'd instruct me. You said you'd teach me. You'd counsel me. And as you talk to God about that, as you meditate on it, God begins to show you, okay, you ask, I will instruct you. Here's how you do this. Here's what you should do. I will teach you my way of doing things. I'll counsel you because I know everything about everything. So if you wrote that out on a little 3x5 card and you kept it in your pocket and you pulled it out and you use it and you speak to yourself, God's been helping you. We don't have time right now, but how many of you this week said, well, I used that one this past week, and I believe God has helped me. He instructed me. He taught me. He showed me something. Just raise your hand. Is there anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. That's what he said he'd do. Intentionally, David got away from everybody. There are times you need to intentionally get away from everybody because everybody means good, but they'll counsel you and give you their opinion, and you don't need an opinion. You don't need their experience. You need to hear from God. See, he intentionally got away from everybody and everything and purposely said, I'm going to meet with God and no one else. When I tell people sometimes, I said, you know, I like to go away every once in a while. I feel called to do that. Actually, just go away and spend a couple days, two days, 3 days, alone somewhere, totally alone with the Lord. No TV, no computer, no nobody, nothing, just me and the Lord. When I tell people that sometimes, and I suggest that everybody do that, sometimes people look at me and think, what do you mean? A day alone with God. What would I do? Read my Bible? I can't read all day long. Pray all day long. They look at me like I wouldn't know what to do with my time. Don't you think it's time you learned how to do that? How to give God the gift of undivided attention? You may start for an hour and then 2 hours and then work up to a day and maybe 2 days. But don't you think it's time you learned how to do that? Won't you give God a present this year? Won't you mark off on your calendar ahead of time, Lord, I'm going to give you the present of my undivided attention for 24 hours, 48 hours. Nobody but you and me. Not going to take any other Christian books. Just going to take my Bible, my notepad, and you and I. Maybe we'll walk together out in the woods or on the beach, but just God and I time. One of the first men's retreats we ever had years ago, we rented a camp way up in North Florida somewhere, and we got the men together, and my associate pastor helped me with this, and he said, in planning out our retreats, you know, we'd have some teaching times and some worship times together and stuff. And then he said, let's make sure we have what's called God and I time. And I said, what's that? He said, well, we're going to teach the guys to go out and for an hour, don't talk to anybody. Just go somewhere and be alone with God. You read your Bible, pray, whatever, but don't talk to anybody. Don't take any phone calls. Just be alone with God, God and I time. And I'll be honest with you, my first thought, I thought, these guys are going to be bored to death. They ain't going to know what to do. They ain't very spiritual guys anyway. They ain't going to do that. And sure enough, when they came back and we all sat around and talked about our time, I was amazed, and they were amazed, at the ways, variety of ways God spoke to them. Talk to them through nature, through a falling leaf, through the breeze, through scripture, just through them, just meditating on something. And I sat there as just, I absolutely was stunned. They had heard from God. I'm telling you, if you'll give God your undivided attention and don't allow anybody to interrupt you and God, He'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. If He sent His own Son to die on the cross for you, don't you think He wants to talk to you? And sometimes, you know, I have to be honest with you, sometimes I'll go out and spend time walking around, usually the backyard or neighborhood, whatever. I'm just walking and talking with God and praying about things and then listening, asking questions. And there are times that it does feel like it's a waste of time. Because I didn't hear anything. I didn't recognize anything particular that He was trying to show me or say anything to me. There are times it feels like it's a waste of time. But it's not a waste of time. It's never been a waste of time. Do you think the Lord would say, that was a perfectly good waste of time? You want to come out here and talk with me? And I didn't want to talk. No. Just the practice, just the discipline, just to show up, just to say, God, I want to be with You. I want to hear from You more than anybody else. I want to know what You think about this. Just that alone is a good thing. Time alone with God strengthened David. It strengthened him. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Pastor didn't encourage him. The mighty men of God didn't encourage him. David encouraged, come on, himself in the Lord. Out of this intimate time with the Lord, David received specific instruction what to do. You hear from God, it'll greatly encourage your heart. When you know you've heard from God, it just, whew, it's life in you. It's just, whoo, whoa, wow, I have heard from God. Let me ask you a question. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? How do you? Speak it out. What do you do? I know you read the Bible. I know you pray. What else? Worship. You sing. Sing to Him. Not about Him, but to Him. He's with you. That's why a lot of times in worship songs, I want us to make it personal. Let's don't sing about God as if He's not here, but sing to Him. He's with us. Yeah. Sure, that's good. How else? How else? Anybody else? How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? Just share it with us. What is it? Praying in a prayer language, yes, tongues. Praying the perfect prayer. Just tell Him. Magnify Him. Not that we can make God bigger, but we magnify Him in our own mind when we brag on Him, when we praise Him. Yeah, amen. What is Jim? Humble yourself, yeah. Yeah, that's right. All these things, yeah, amen. But you know what you have to do? It seems like every one of us have to do. You've got to make your flesh lie down. You've got to make your flesh be still because it wants to get up and go. And this takes time, especially if you're going through a crisis because your mind's going 90 miles an hour. And just as Jesus calmed the storm, he needs to calm the storm down on the inside of you. He maketh me lie down. Maketh me lie down, flesh. You're not in charge anymore. And you got to see God bigger than your storm, whatever your crisis is you're going through. You got to learn to quiet your mind. You got to learn to focus on him because it will get a million distractions. And the devil's fiery darts most of the time are nothing more than just distractions. Hey, what about this? Hey, you need to return this phone call. Hey, don't forget to do this. Don't forget you got to pick up the kids. Hey, you got an appointment next week. You need to write it down. You need to pay this bill. Hello, anybody know what I'm talking about? That's just the devil. So you, and then when you hear from God, whether it's in a dream, like I heard from God in this dream, or if it's a scripture you're meditating on and you know God's just lighting up your life, he's just pumping life into you when you read this scripture or the scripture speaks to you or it's highlighted to you. Whatever it is that you know that the Lord, you believe that God has been speaking into you, then you've got to keep it before your eyes. You got to put it in your ears. You got to speak it out of your mouth. You got to do that or else it'll dissipate like a vapor. It'll vanish. It's gone. You won't even remember. What was it? What did God tell me? No, you've got to keep it in your eyes. You got to speak it in your mouth. Put it in your ears. That's why you write it out. You keep it before you. You mutter it to yourself. You speak to yourself. Yeah. Speaking to yourself is spiritual. You keep it so you can ponder it. You keep it before your mind because your mind will want to go to this, to this, to this. No. Back over here. Back on this. And God said to me, it may be stronger than your strength, but it's not stronger than mine. Oh, I'm hanging on to that one. I'm chewing on it. I'm going to get all the nutrients out of that I possibly can, see, because I need it. And we're going to have to keep what God has said before us. Don't jump to the next new thing. That's why sometimes I think we hear a sermon on Sunday morning and we hear something else on Wednesday night. It'd probably be better for me to preach the same sermon 52 weeks out of the year. Then we say, oh, yeah, I got it now. I got it. Most people wouldn't tolerate that. I'm not staying around here for that. God says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Isaiah 26:3 should be up on the screen right now. And one of the main tactics of the devil is nothing more than distraction. So after you receive instruction from the Lord, like David, what do you think he did? He muttered it to himself. He preached to himself, church. You are the best preacher you have ever heard. You are. You can preach to yourself. David preached to himself. He persuaded himself with what he was hearing from God. He was reminding himself who God is. I'm not alone. I'm not in this alone. God's with me. And then he sat down and he wrote many, many of the Psalms that we have. He didn't write all the Psalms, but he wrote many of the Psalms. And all the various people who wrote the Psalms went through all kinds of crisis in life. King Hezekiah had his city surrounded by enemies one time, and he wrote Psalm 121. He says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Can you imagine him speaking that to himself, reminding that himself of that? My help comes from the Lord. While all the Assyrian army that greatly outnumbered them completely surrounded Jerusalem. What did he experience? Their strength may be stronger than yours, but they're not stronger than mine. Yeah, there may be more of them that you can see, but there's actually more for you than there are against you. No, God is with you, and He's in you, and He's for you. You can't wait around for somebody to come along. Encourage me, encourage me, encourage me. And sometimes that'll happen. Thank God people will do that. But you also got to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Let me tell you some things quickly that will not encourage you when you're down. Number one, watching more television. Well, sometimes we want to watch television just to escape. I understand. I'm going to watch Andy Griffith because I can go to Mayberry and that is the only big problem they got is Otis, the town drunk. Well, we can handle that one. Okay. Or Barney or whatever, but I gotta escape, so I go watch television. Well, you can watch a little television, but that's not going to make things get better. Okay. Number two, isolating yourself. One of the worst things you can do. I'm gonna quit going that you're nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll eat worms. Dwelling on the past. Sitting around. Regrets. I've had a few, but then a few, too few to mention. Drink another beer. Cry a little bit. Play the record backwards. Anything. It won't help you. Or a question mark is, however you have coped with stress and problems. Everybody's got some way. And it didn't work. Bible says that we need to do this, Ephesians 5:19. Give me a couple more minutes, I'll be done. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms. That's why you should memorize Psalm 32, verse 8, by the way. And in hymns and spiritual songs, because you're going to sing. Sometimes you just sing. Sometimes God will just remind you of a song. He said, just sing. Just sing. I ain't got no reason to sing. Just sing. Oh, really? The Bible says, in Isaiah, it says, the Lord is my strength and my song. Too much to go into. Preach to yourself. The psalmist evidently preached to themselves, Psalm 42 and 43. This is repeated over and over. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why am I depressed? Why am I discouraged? Why are you moaning and being disquieted within me? Hope in God. Wait expectantly for Him. I shall yet praise Him. He's the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 62, trust in, lean on, rely on, have confidence in Him at all times, people. Say it with me. Pour. Have you ever done that? Where you get a chair. God. Lord, you sit here, I sit here. I know you know it all, but you told me to pour my heart out, so, and you'll listen, so. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I know I'm not supposed to worry, but I'm worried. I know that I shouldn't, but I'm afraid. And I mean, you just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And imagine with your sanctified imagination, the Lord sitting right there, and you tell Him everything until you don't have any more breath. Till you got it all out. Are you done? And I mean everything, everything, everything. Even the little silly things that you'd think, well, that's silly. But just get it out. Pour your heart out before Him. That's what He wants you to do. He's called a counselor for a reason. And you need to do this. You need to do this. Before you run to the pastor, before you run to someone. Not that you can't talk to, don't get me wrong. The first counselor is the Lord. Pour your heart out. And imagine, do that. My mom told me she does that. She's here tonight. She don't be embarrassed about it. It's a good thing. It's a scriptural thing. It's a spiritual thing. That sometimes she said, I'll just sit down in my chair and I imagine the Lord sitting right here with me. And I just talk to Him just like I would if as a physical person there. We just talk. I just talk to Him. How many of you do that? Raise your hand. Oh, we got some sick people here. You're talking to God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Because I don't have enough strength to do this. And God knows you don't. You may not have enough strength, but I do, He says. See, you and I are not strong enough to defeat our strong enemy. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which His presence will strengthen you. As you encourage yourself in the Lord, you'll get stronger. As you speak out His word, as you meditate on His word, as you mutter His word, as you think on His word when you go to bed at night, and as you dream His dreams, and as you speak His word, you get stronger. He's strengthening you. I can do all things. You can't, but He can through you. And He wants you and I to discover a strength that is hidden inside you. It's Him. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Whatever's bothering you, if there's anything bothering you tonight, whatever seems to be overpowering you, and I was hopeful that this young lady would show up tonight. You talked about the beginning. She didn't, but we prayed. God's with her. He's on it. Whatever's overpowering you, you've just got to remember what the Lord said to me this week. It may be stronger than your strength, but it's not stronger than mine. Hallelujah. That's all I need to know. That's all you need to know. Whatever you're dealing with may be stronger than you, but it ain't stronger than God. And God is with you. That's what Christmas is all about. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the Lord. Worship Emmanuel, the God who's with us. The God who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. The God who said, I'll strengthen you. The God who said in His word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Worship Him. Thank Him for His strength. The God in Psalm 24 who says, who is this King of glory? He is the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. That's who He is, and He's for you. He's not against you, and He's in you, and He's with you to face whatever you'll ever have to face. You'll never be alone because the great one, the strong one, lives in you, and He's here to make you strong. So you'll say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. 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 You were born to win, born to conquer, born to dance on top of the devil's head. Hallelujah. Now go do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your strength. And thank you, Connie, for leading in worship tonight.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.